The Phoenix Suns have not been in this situation since round one of last year. They lose game four on the road to the Dallas Mavericks. Chris Paul plays one of the poorest games of his career. After playing one of the poorest games of his career, what went wrong and what just happened? We'll talk about it on today's Locked On Suns.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past five seasons and a contributor at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen today and every day. Thank you for rolling out of bed and hitting play on this one, despite how frustrating it may feel, but I'm going to make sense of it for you. I'm going to try to help you understand what just happened and the best way to keep up with the show, keep up with this series, this season by the Phoenix Suns is to hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you listen on or watch on. Let's dive in, guys. Today's show brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all year long with more props, odds, and lines than anyone else. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, let's go. You know the score, 111-101. Again, another game where it feels hopeless, but the Suns only lose by 10 or fewer. I guess that's the first silver lining, but this was not a game that had many of them. I'm going to get into the fouls because I know you guys know me by now, you know the show by now, and I don't typically do this. But in this game, I'm not even just going to hash it out about the Suns side of things, but the refs were such an obnoxious part of this game. A way too big of a part of this game. So I will get to it. But we have to start with defense. Because this series, Suns-Mavs, whether I was previewing it, whether it was game one when the Suns won, game two when the Suns really won, or anything since, it has been about defense. The series flipped. Yes, the Mavs came home. Yes, Jalen Brunson started playing a little bit better. You can make a lot of cases for what's gone right for Dallas, but mostly to me, it flipped when the Mavs started playing better pick and roll defense, better defense overall. And today's all about the Suns not executing on defense. Game three, I think you could have made the case if the Suns just played more sound offense, they win that game. I think the issues were more with the turnovers, with some of the mistakes and miscues and lack of ball movement and things like that. Today, Suns' mistakes were all about the defensive end. They allowed, I could list you a bunch of things. The Mavs shot 20 of 44 from deep. The Suns allowed the Mavericks to shoot 9 of 13 on corner threes during the competitive part of the game. The Mavericks put up a 120 offensive rating, so they scored 120 points per 100 possessions in this game. The Mavs continued to win the turnover battle, so they are not coughing up the ball, but they are forcing the Suns to do so. The Suns' transition defense was not good. They were constantly getting themselves into bad matchups from the jump. They would have Ayton on a shooter, or they would have the wrong person guarding Luka, or the wrong person guarding Brunson, or the wrong person guarding Dinwiddie. And the Mavs were just able to pounce on that. They're an isolation team. They're a drive and kick team. If you give them the possession starting with the wrong guy on one of their better scorers, that's a bucket. Or at the very least, it's going to create a pretty darn good look for Dallas. We saw that time and again against Utah. Monty said the Suns allowed too much middle dribble penetration. I do think the Mavs have good screeners between Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell, but they were still, Brunson and Luka were getting downhill right into the middle of the floor, and that's an easy kick out. You're either going to get a layup, you're going to get fouled, or you're going to get an open three somewhere on the court, especially with how well the Mavs were moving the ball off of that initial kick. It wasn't just a one-pass type of offense for the Mavs tonight. Talked about the shooting. The Suns did not also stop the hot hand. Talk about it a little bit more when I get to the bench, because I think that's where it was particularly problematic, but even you think Dorian Finney-Smith, he made eight threes. He was basically the star of the game for Dallas tonight on the offensive end, just relentlessly continuing to be aggressive from deep and making them over and over and over. He's making those corner threes, which, as I said, you know, the Suns allowed Dallas to shoot 9 of 13 on those. I think Finney Smith had 3 or 4 of them. So those are going to be naturally some of the more open shots if they're able to, if you're able to create a corner three, it's most likely going to be open. But the Suns just did not show enough energy getting out on those buckets all that often when they did have the right matchups in place. I thought Luka got into the mismatches way too easily. The Suns were giving him switches that he was obviously going to attack. Payne, Shamet, and Johnson were just basically traffic cones against Brunson and Luka tonight. It was really ugly. So that's the defense. That's all the stuff that went wrong. I wanted to just cough it all out for you guys. Just be level set, be honest, right from the jump. I thought those are just a handful of the things that the Suns just failed at on the defensive end. And that's, to me, the biggest story of the game. I'm again going to get to the fouls, but you can't do all of that even if Chris Paul plays the full game, even if you know, some of the techs and things don't go against the Suns and whatnot. That cannot happen. One silver lining is Luka wasn't his usual self as a scorer. I think that there's something to be said for the Suns, you know, contesting his pull-up threes, but those are mostly going to be, you know, lucky. I mean, they're not lucky, but he's getting them off without them being blocked and in rhythm. It's just sometimes they go down and sometimes they don't. Tonight he was 1 of 10, but you still count that as a little bit of a victory that he wasn't, he didn't get all the way to the basket like he did in game 3, I guess is the best way to put it. The reason the defense is so important, guys, the Suns, that's the Suns' trademark more than anything else. You think back to when Jay Crowder got here at training camp in 2020, he said, we want to be a top 10 defense. Everybody thought he was crazy. That's what made the difference for this Suns team. They were a good offense when Ricky Rubio was here. Now, were they a top 3 offense? No, of course not. They've gotten better there too. But they became like the 18th, 20th best defense in the NBA and then a top 5 defense because of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder and the other guys getting better, the young guys getting better and all that stuff. That's why they are the team that they are. They're at their best when they're turning defense into offense, when Bridges is everywhere, when DA is running the floor, when the shooters are getting open in transition and off of, you know, quick action, quick pace. You think back to that Miami, the second half of that Miami game, the second one when the Suns beat the Heat. And remember, Monty Williams called it the best defensive half he had seen since, best half overall, I think he might have said, since the Suns, since he got to the Suns. They, I think, held Miami to less than 45 points. You think back to the fourth quarter of the Utah game, the last time the Suns actually played their guys to end the regular season, and the Suns put together just like the most masterful defensive performance you'll ever see. And it was just their defense that created that win for them. They came back, they put the clamps on Utah, they created out of that. Offensively, Bridges had like double-digit points, and they win the game. Even in game 2 of this series, the Mavs shot just 8 of 20 from the field in the fourth quarter with 3 turnovers. And of course, that's when the Suns explode and end up winning that game by 20. So unless the Suns rediscover that defensive identity and create easy, in-rhythm types of shots out of that, the games will continue to look like this. Now, I'm not saying they can't win the game anyway. I think they can. But throughout the entire playoffs, it's been much more about the Suns not looking like themselves for one reason or another. Sometimes it's because of things the opponent are doing. I'm not taking credit away from the Mavs. But if the Suns play like they look in the regular season at their best, even in times this playoffs, at times last playoffs, not just a regular season thing, they can win no matter who the opponent is. But they have not done that. They are the favorites. They were the favorites for a reason. They have not played like that for the past 2 games. So that's all out there. That's the real bottom line thing. The fouls can change, and they will. Chris Paul's probably not fouling out in game 4. You're probably not getting weird technical calls and offensive 3-second calls and all the stuff I'm about to talk about in game 5, right? That's probably not coming. But if the Suns don't fix their defense, if they don't play with that intensity, that signature style that they have become great as a result of, then they're not going to win many of these games, and it's going to continue to feel this ugly every single time. So let's get into those fouls, especially when it comes to Chris Paul and the ripple effects, I think most importantly from Chris Paul's foul trouble. We'll do all of that in a second. First, today's show brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting stats and info all year long. You can find the latest developments, including analysis, podcasts, news to inform your betting, as well as live betting, playoff betting, esports, and more to actually make your bets. Get in on the action, make some money. Of course, that's what this stuff is all about. If you want to know the series price for Warriors-Grizzlies, it has fluctuated insanely. All of these second round series have been wildly up and down. The Grizzlies are now plus 640 to win the series because of John Morant likely missing game four for them. So tons of stuff to look through on the NBA side. Suns-Mavs is not up yet because the game just ended, but it'll be there as well. If you want to get in low after the Suns lose game four, maybe you're still feeling good about the series, that will be there too. Head to the website today, use the mobile app, make bets, learn about what's going on, get the latest news, all of it at BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. The moment you've all been waiting for, the foul situation. So I want to go through, obviously, so Chris Paul fouls out, six fouls, 23 minutes. He gets his third foul with 1:52 left in the third in the second quarter. It doesn't feel all that egregious, honestly, but then he gets his fourth at the end of the first half, and that's really where things go south. He gets his fifth right away in the third quarter, then he gets his sixth right away, basically, in the fourth quarter. So what I want to do to start things out is which of those fouls were actually egregious and which were pretty reasonable, okay? So, and then a little bit of what Chris and Monty said and some of the back the fallout, and then I want to talk about how it affected the game, okay? So the egregious fouls, to me, the fourth one and the sixth, okay? So the fourth foul was the one at the end of the first half, and Chris misses a bunny, basically, which has been another frustrating constant across the past two games for the Suns, but that's another conversation. Misses it, chases down his own rebound. One of those where, look, yes, sometimes you see players do that where they're obviously frustrated, they chase down their own miss, and they do it a little bit aggressively. I get that, but it's the playoffs, which is probably the through line most through the past two games, is the officials not calling these games like playoff games, in my opinion. The ones that have become problems, and look, there are very few that I've had a big problem with, but this fourth one was an example of it. The amount of contact that Chris made with Luka, it was so minimal, and I guess it was a loose ball foul, but if you're just judging the momentum of each player, Luka was right there. He's also the bigger player. So Chris going up and getting a hand on the ball, it did not feel like it met the standard for something that would be overly physical, overly violent, taking up another player's space, going over the back, any of the things that are supposed to be a loose ball foul. He went back up, got one hand, and you know, collided with Luka at sort of like the elbow forearm area, and then eventually they obviously kind of hit each other. Luka falls down, sells it, whatever. That call cannot be happening in a playoff game, especially on a bang-bang play like that where both guys are jumping, both guys are going for the ball. It's not like Chris barreled into somebody. And you know, so that one was egregious. Number six was also egregious, the final foul, which was a similar situation actually where Brunson in this case misses a layup, goes up for his own rebound. Chris Paul gets Brunson on the arm. I'm sure some of you guys who maybe are frustrated with Chris or, you know, are Mavs fans or whatever you are already frustrated that I'm being so leaning toward Chris's side so much on this one. I get what happened. He grabbed Jalen Brunson a little bit. He had his arm around Brunson's arm, but he pulled it back before it affected the play. And Brunson gets the offensive rebound. Again, not a situation where Chris is barreling into anybody, not a situation where it's affecting the play or is overly physical or overly violent or anything like that. It's just the most by the book, was there any amount of contact outside of the realm of normal basketball movement? Yes, we're calling the foul. And that just should not be happening in the playoffs. Now, that aside, I will say the fifth foul was Chris's fault, for sure. That was the one at the beginning of the third quarter, And that was the one Monty challenged, which I will talk about in a second in terms of the ripple effects, where he tries the playground getting in the way of the defender who's trying to recover back into the play after the inbounds pass, impeding his movement and, you know, falling to the ground. That's a call that Chris Paul has gotten for a long time. It's also something that the officials allegedly were supposed to be emphasizing this year, although pretty sure we've seen Chris get that call during the regular season too. So, whatever. I could see maybe him trying that with one foul or zero fouls, but trying that with four fouls in a tight second half of a pretty important playoff game is unacceptable stuff. You can't take that risk. Monty admitted he should have taken, aside from 4, 5, and 6, that he should have taken Chris out for the rest of the second quarter after he gets that third foul. So he gets the third one at 1:52. He is out for about a minute. Then Monty brings him back in. Then he gets that fourth foul when he tries to get his own miss and runs into Luka. That's a mistake on Monty's part. The last thing I'll say in terms of the Chris Paul calls specifically is that I saw this sort of thing going around. I believe Richard Jefferson said it. Richard Jefferson was I'm not trying to say mouthy. That's a disrespectful thing to say. I'm saying whatever came through his head was coming out of his mouth throughout this whole game. Very strange announcing style. He put it this way, and I then saw it getting regurgitated online, where he said Chris Paul's facial expression, the way that he was just not emoting, not complaining to the official, etc., was evidence that he knew that these were the right calls. And it's like, first of all, the Suns told us from the jump after Game 3 that they were not going to try to let themselves get so flustered as they did in Game 3 because it affected them so much in Game 3. So that's one thing. They were obviously making a point of not letting this stuff get in their head. So Chris Paul sitting there and just being normal is not that crazy. Second, Chris Paul may know that that's the, again, by the book call, but on, especially again, 4 and 6, he probably knows it's complete BS. Chris Paul also left his press conference after fielding maybe 4 or 5 questions, whereas he normally would stay for the whole time that Booker's there, because they usually will do it together. Because he didn't have any, he knew whatever he said, he was going to be frustrated, he's pissed off, and there's no good explanation for a lot of this stuff outside of the refs just decided to do it. I get Chris Paul's reputation probably doesn't help him, but the bottom line is this is a playoff game. Officiate these things like the playoffs, okay? That's it. That's why I think 4 and 6 were so egregious. Okay, how did it affect the game? Because it's one thing for Chris Paul to go out 23 minutes. He did have 7 assists. He did get a couple of shots going in the second and third quarters before he ends up having to leave the game again. And he had whatever. The Suns were within 4 at different at one point. They were within less than 12 for most of the rest of the game. So how did the Chris Paul stuff really actually affect it outside of Chris Paul just being out? Okay. Number one, they have to use the challenge early. And Monty even admitted it was one of those that he just did it on a prayer, basically, hoping that the refs found something and were able to overturn it so that he doesn't get his fifth foul right away in the third quarter. But they lose the challenge, obviously, and then they lose a timeout. You see that affect them not only to be able to, you know, not be able to stop Mavericks' runs that were happening, which I don't know how many there really were that Monty didn't call a timeout for. I think by the middle of the third quarter, the Mavs were basically in control of the game. But you also saw at the beginning of the fourth quarter when Biombo plays like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth because the Suns only have 3 timeouts at that point because they lost one on the challenge and Ayton is just stranded at the check-in table and can't come into the game. So that's just a small way you saw it. Some of the other like bigger picture macro stuff that this impacted were you obviously have more pressure on Devin Booker. He has a really strong start to the game. And then when Chris Paul's not in there, he obviously gets more attention. We'll talk about the other guys not stepping up too. That's a big part of it. But they're able to blitz Booker more, double team Booker more. He starts turning the ball over. We've seen all this before. And then, of course, just the rhythm of the game. Chris Paul was getting most of these calls, but the fouls in general, it was another game very much like Game 3 where you never felt like a lot of either side was able to get a ton of momentum at different points in it. All right, more specifically than that, and more just Chris Paul not being in there. What is lost when he specifically is not in the game? So Bridges and Ayton, you look at the box score, they were both pretty poor in this game. 20 combined points, 10 of 21 from the field. Most of that inefficiency was Bridges. And you just didn't feel like they were able to put their imprint on the game. Again, you can tell the most with Bridges' attempts from three. He was 0 of 2. Again, I believe he was 0 of 2 in game three. Those threes are generated from Chris Paul driving and kicking the offense. Ideally, Cameron Payne as well, but we'll talk about him in a second. More minutes where defensively, again, going back to the defense, where Payne and Johnson are out there to be exploited, where instead of a switch onto Chris Paul, Chris Paul switching onto Luka Doncic, which I get why you go at that, but it's not exactly like this huge matchup mismatch where we've seen Chris Paul get a couple steals on those, we've seen him hold up, draw fouls, whatever. It's now Payne or Cameron Johnson who have to be out there with the starters, and then Luka's able to prey on them a little bit more. You can't adjust defensively and put someone else on Brunson late, where he was really the closer for the Mavs in this game, scoring on Booker. We knew that was a problem after game three. He scored on Booker quite a bit, but you can't really manipulate that much when Chris Paul is not out there, and instead it is Cameron Johnson or it's, you know, Cameron Payne, and one of those guys is going to be a defensive weak link. You can't make jumble and adjust the matchups as easily. Last but not least, I've been yelling about this all series, even when the Suns were winning these games. Davis Bertans, who I'll talk about with the bench stuff in just a second, and Frank Ntilikina both were able to stay on the floor for long spurts in this game, and the Suns haven't been doing as well as they should attacking that stuff, but they have no chance of attacking that stuff when it's not Chris Paul running the offense. Because of how poorly Campaign is playing, because Booker, when the ball is in his hands to start possessions, he is going to be blitzed, he's going to be doubled, and have to give it up anyway. The Suns' best offense after Chris Paul came with like Crowder or somebody else bringing the ball up the floor, and then Booker running off-ball offense, getting the ball on a second side or off of a handoff or something like that. You can't attack guys without Chris Paul out there, because the best way that the Suns are going to attack is to run pick and roll, get that person isolated or having to help or having to rotate and exploiting it. So Bertans was able to play 13 minutes. He was a minus three, but I think that's a little noisy. He made an obvious impact in this game in the second quarter, and Ntilikina was able to stay out there, and he was a plus four in his 9 minutes. He was, you know, at least able to be a body on Devin Booker at times, and he played fine. He was able to be out there because the Suns aren't able to really manipulate what a player is bad at, and their offense wasn't working as well without Chris Paul, or their defense wasn't working as well without Chris Paul, and so Ntilikina was somebody where you can't do the, like, okay, let's ignore him, or let's switch off of him, or let's double team off of him, because you're down a man. It just hurts. So, that's it. I mean, that's the biggest story of this game, is Chris Paul getting fouls. That will be on First Take tomorrow and all that stuff, but it's not just that he got fouled or that he was frustrated or this and that, and oh, Luka outplayed him and the duel continues and blah, blah, blah. It is all of these ways that I've now listed where they were not able to play at their best because Paul was either out of the game or having to play differently or not in rhythm, etc. And that's just, I mean, he's the best or the second best player on the team depending on the day, and that can't happen. It cannot happen. So again, the fifth foul, the way that he tried to draw an offensive foul, a defensive foul on Brunson, unacceptable. Some of the other ones, poor awareness on the part of the officials, but the bottom line is you can't have a player foul out. It's on him at the end of the day, and it affected the game in a really, really big way. Last but not least, I want to talk about some of the other referee stuff just a bit, and then I want to really dive in on the bench battle because the Suns are not getting anything from there right now. First, guys, today's show brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. They have a granola option right now, which are already selling out. You have chocolate peanut butter, white chocolate berry, and granola mixed that are already sold out because these things just fly off the shelves. But chocolate coconut, which I'm out, and they're not on sale at a lot of places right now. My usual, like, My protein place down the street actually has Built Bars. They put them on sale a lot, but they're not. So I'm probably going to have to order, and I'm going to go granola because those are not in stock in stores right now. They're just online. You have to be checking. Every single Built Bar is going to be packed with 15 to 20 grams of protein, no more than 5 grams of sugar. So you know you're getting something good. You're getting a snack or a pre or post workout. power up that you know is healthy. It's not just something to put in your body. It's not just advertised as healthy for you. It actually is, and it's delicious every single time. I mean, no matter what flavor you're getting. So go to built.com, guys. Check it all out. Granola, they have Built Puffs in the shape of yellow chirps still from the spring holidays and everything else. Use the promo code LOCK15 to check out to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, a couple quick other things from the side of the referees. Again, just to reiterate, this game was not officiated like a playoff game. That's probably the single way that I would put it that it was the biggest problem. And it's not just Chris Paul. You had Luka getting a tech and a personal foul early. I understand he's chippy. I think the Suns baited him into some of it. You just had the game starting off with this same tone as game three, where I would feel like the officials would have a goal of not getting so involved. I think the calls on Luka were the right calls. I didn't hear what he said to the official when he got the tech, but it started things off the wrong way. I don't know if the refs had a great option there. They should have called those on Luka, but then you have the Suns going overboard and they take two or three possessions in a row where they're just trying to draw that second foul on him. They don't get anything on those possessions. Then at the 7 minute and 39 mark, you get a tech on Booker where he takes a three. He's fouled by Dwight Powell. And somehow the follow-through flailing motion that Booker does on the play where he gets fouled in his shot becomes a tech. And that was what he said post-game was the explanation that he was provided, which is that he swung his arms inappropriately, basically, and hit Dwight Powell in the face. He said he's never been called for a foul on a shot that he was fouled on. I get that. It was bizarre. Did he make contact? Yes, but once again, at the very least, it could be an offensive foul. Maybe you have those fouls offset. Booker doesn't get the free throws, but the Suns just take the ball from out of bounds, and it's just even. But a tech is a very strange thing in that situation. That would indicate some sort of unsportsmanlike thing or uncalled for type of behavior. It was a normal play. You know, he was trying to sell a foul. Powell did indeed foul him, and it was just the contact as a result of all of that. I do not understand where that came from. A flagrant, even, maybe, would make more sense. And then you had three offensive three-second violations get called. This was one on Dallas and two on the Suns. I mean, if you watch an NBA possession, there is an offensive or especially a defensive 3 seconds on, I mean, at least a third of plays. You know, maybe these days with how many stretch fives are out there, it's less. But these guys are in the paint for way too long all the time. Maybe one side or the other said something to the officials and said, hey, watch this. McGee's in the paint too much or this and that. But offensive especially, bizarre thing to do. Again, just another example of not officiating this with the magnitude of the game in mind, having way too much impact on the result of the game, and just bizarre stuff that you don't see, and you shouldn't be seeing it in a playoff game, of all things. Just strange stuff. That aside, the bench is the other big thing as we wrap up the show. 36 bench points for the Suns, 36 for the Mavs, 26 for the Suns. Most of the Suns, actually, I would say came in garbage time. I don't know the exact numbers, but you have guys like Aaron Holiday, Bismack Biyombo, who definitely scored as the game was already out of hand. But either way, the Mavs outscored the Suns bench by 10. You also had, again, Davis Bertans. He starts his stint in the game in the second quarter, 4 of 4 from deep. He ends up missing a couple heat check threes. But he swung the second quarter. And when you look and see in the box score that the Suns actually were even with Dallas at 31 in that second quarter, it's ugly that Bertans was able to get that hot, because the Suns had control of that quarter outside of that. You also had in that same period Spencer Dinwiddie cooking Cam Johnson. Well, everybody, but Cam Johnson especially. If you have a better bench performance that's able to match what Bertans and Dinwiddie did in that second quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, you have a very different situation where you're able to. And I will, you know, some blame there is on CP, because he was in during a lot of that time too. It wasn't just full bench units. Monty was a little better about not putting those out there. But again, you have 36 points from a Mavs bench that really shouldn't even necessarily be able to get away with playing Davis Bertans. Spencer Dinwiddie has been up and down, and he had a very solid game, at least a very solid stint in that stretch. But on the Suns' side is the biggest problem. Cam Payne and Landry Shamet were a combined 1 of 7 from the field in 25 combined minutes. That's just not enough. And I know you can look and say, okay, well, Cam Payne had 5 assists. Sure. Shamet actually was the one who made that shot. He only took 2, and it was a dunk, but it was in garbage time. So the box score doesn't even show how bad it was. They are doing nothing when they're in the game on offense. And in Payne's case, he's hurting the team. He's not running offense. He's not, again, able to have a plan and attack or isolate somebody as the weak link, the pigeon, the duck, all these jokes we've been making as people who enjoy watching the Suns when they are at their best. Payne is doing none of that stuff. He is not the guy who had 17 assists in that Knicks game when Cam Johnson hit the game winner. He is far from that right now. I'll talk tomorrow about adjustments, so I know you're all thinking, you know, screaming in your cars or at the gym or while you're doing dishes or whatever you're doing, Aaron Holiday should be playing. I will just say right now that I agree with you, and I have a whole other can of worms, barrel of monkeys, whatever, to talk through tomorrow as we get ready for Game 5 here in Phoenix. But suffice to say, Payne is playing so, so badly, and he's just getting walked all over on defense. There is no good reason why Cameron Payne continued to get the minutes in the second half that he did. No good reason. There is not a good reason for it. He was a major minus in each of the past 2 games for the Suns. He's had 1 good game in the entire playoffs when he had 10 points, I believe, in game 2 of this series. But aside from that, he has been a genuine minus. Let me see here. I want to make sure it was game 2 before I give the man his praise. He had 4 points in game 2. Maybe it was game 1. Either way, 1 game out of now 10 in the Suns playoff run where Payne has looked like himself. It's not acceptable. And Shamet, the same. Shamet got paid a lot of money. He was a trade. They gave up a first-round pick and a lot of money to keep him here because they thought he was going to be a playable shooter in the playoffs for them, and he's not been that at all. He's not even taking 3. He's not even getting open. He's not even being aggressive. It's not okay. Not gonna get it done. At the end of the day, though, the things that the Suns can solve will make these games more competitive. It'll give them the advantages that we know they have, that they are better at. They are the better team. They are the favorite. But that favorite status, I think my takeaway from this game is that teams know mucking up games, getting in their head is the way to beat the Suns. The referees, I think it's fair to say, after now 10 playoff games for the Suns, are officiating the Suns like the cocky sort of favorite that they are when they're at their worst. It's probably the same reason that we hear guys like Reggie Miller and other TV analysts, and I see Suns fans saying, like, they're literally rooting against the Suns. I feel like it's because of the way that the Suns hold themselves. I think it's part of why the Suns are so great. I think it's part of the personality of this team. I think it's why they're able to dial up the intensity in the big moments like they do. But it is coming back to bite them when they are making mistakes elsewhere. So I think the Suns can win some of these games when there are these crazy official stuff going on. I think they can still win. We saw that in the Pelican series. We saw that at different moments throughout the past 2 years. But that's the reality. They are in this situation, and I don't think that it's going anywhere. They have to stop beating themselves to even have a chance to take back control of this series. All right. Little long. I had a lot to say there. I did a lot of prep for this one, so I appreciate you guys hanging tight. I will be back with you on Tuesday morning to get you ready for game 5. I'll be at game 5 and ready to give you a recap that night. So hit subscribe, hit follow wherever you're listening or watching. The best way to support the show is to do that. The second best way to support the show is to leave a comment down below telling me what you think went wrong in game 4, what your thoughts are heading into game 5. I will talk to you guys all tomorrow. Now go make Locked On NBA your second listen to catch up on all the other series going on around the league over the weekend.